This is the Funville 9, driven by AAA, the official podcast of the Richmond Flying Squirrels. Here's your host, Trey Wilson.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Funville 9 podcast. Today we have the latest installment of our debut stories. In 2023, there were 10 Flying Squirrels players who debuted in the major leagues with the Giants, including a franchise record 5 players who got to the big leagues in the same year that they played in Richmond. And one of those players was Wade Meckler, who soared through the minor leagues and reached the big leagues about a year after being drafted out of Oregon State. He led the minors with a .371 batting average last year across 3 levels, including his 39 games with the Flying Squirrels. And then after he left Richmond, he spent about 2 weeks in AAA with Sacramento before the Giants called him up to make his major league debut on August 14th at Oracle Park against the Tampa Bay Rays. I got a chance to catch up with Wade out in Scottsdale, Arizona during Giants spring training. And in our chat, we talked about his time in Richmond. We talked about his major league debut, and we talked about a whole lot more. Here's my conversation with Wade Meckler. Wade, I know it's 2024. We're focusing on getting ready for the year right now, but I'd love to take a look back at the year that was 2023 for you. What a crazy year that was. If you could just sum it up in a brief summary, yeah, what comes to mind when you look back at the year 2023?
For the most part, doing what I set out to do. I just wanted to hit and make it apparent that I didn't belong at the lower levels. I knew the way to do that was to put up numbers that, would pop off a page. So I was able to do that, and, glad I did, and just, looking forward to continuing to get better and do that in the big leagues now.
We got to Richmond in May. May 17th was your AA debut, and like you said, you tore it up in Eugene, put up crazy numbers, and then you come into Richmond day one. Was it 3 hits in the first game? Like, okay, this guy is as advertised. But a lot of people, when they get to AA, there's a struggle. There's an adjustment because it's the big separation between high and AA. Did you see any of that? Because it certainly didn't really show in the numbers.
No, I mean, it's definitely a much higher level. It feels like much like in high A, guys try to beat you with their best stuff, right? Like if a guy throws 99, he's going to try to beat you with his 99-mile-an-hour fastball. Whereas in double A, it's like they look at you. Like what are you, where are your holes? So it's a little more of a chess game in double A where, I might get a lot more first pitch changeups. And it is a much more difficult level. I think it's the biggest jump in the minor leagues from high A to double A. But with that being said, I had a lot of guys talk to me like, when a lot of people like overblow mentally, like how much they need to adjust, and they kind of make the AA players out in their minds bigger and better than they probably should. And they start to, almost get in their own head about it. And I feel like I did a good job when I got up there, like still treating it like baseball. Like, I just raked at high A, like they're better, but I raked in high A, like I'm going to rake here too. Just keeping that mindset. And it is, a much higher level, but at the same time, I just kept the focus on me, what I should do instead of who I was playing.
Did you kind of carry that same mentality into Sacramento at AAA and into the big leagues? It seemed like some of the same results when you first got up to those levels.
Yeah, same mentality. I almost think AAA's, especially with the ABS, a little bit easier because you know exactly where the zone is every game. It was the same mentality when I got to AAA, like, all right, like, AA is difficult. The jump from high A to AA is the biggest jump in the minor leagues. And I was able to navigate that jump. This jump's smaller than the jump from, high A to AA, so I can do this one too.
I want to talk about a couple of particular games. One of them, May 23rd against Harrisburg, the day you go 5-for-5, you have the walk-off hit. Not just that, but a big come-from-behind win. So not, 5 hits, but you uplift the team to a win. How locked in were you that day?
Yeah, felt rough before the game. Swing didn't feel great before the game. We worked through some stuff in our pregame routine stuff. Got that really cheap hit my first at bat, a little rollover, and then found it my second at bat. And then as I kept going, just kept finding it and getting better. And, a lot of times when you have a bunch of hits in a row, like you start to get that confidence. That last at bat, we had second and third, like one out, I think. And I was like, oh, they're gonna walk me for sure. Like there's an open base. Like,
yeah, we thought the same thing. Yeah, 4-for-4, you got to.
Yeah, like they're definitely gonna walk me. And so I went up there and I was like, they're not walking me. They're going to throw me a bunch of changeups, and they're just going to like kind of pitch around me and see if they can get me a chase. And, you know, when you're locked like that, you kind of have almost time to think up there. And I saw that first pitch on the middle. I was like, what are you doing? Like, why would you throw me a first pitch fastball? And then got my barrel on it, and, you know, it felt good.
There was another game that you played a big part in. There was another big come from behind win, and that was in front of a sold out crowd on the 4th of July. And you had one of the biggest swings of the night. It was a 2-run go-ahead homer. It ended up being your only homer in Richmond at the Diamond. But you also had a big day at the plate. But how much fun was it to go out there, be a part of that, come back and playing in front of that completely sold out, packed house at the Diamond that night?
Yeah, the crowd was electric. It was a fun game. We really wanted to win, you know, because the crowd was, you know, really getting behind us. And it was a tough at bat. I think he threw me a slider early in the at bat that I saw pretty well, and then he went back to it, and it was a little bit higher, and was able to get my barrel on it. And then we hit like 3 or 4 home runs. I think the floodgates just opened, and that was a super fun game.
Yeah, it's crazy how you guys can go back and call out individual pitches from at-bats a year ago. I mean, a lot of guys can do it, but you seem to have like really vivid memory of these individual at-bats. Is it just part of spending so much time locked in and focused?
Yeah, it's definitely a very high focus level. I'm also, you know, I'm very into sequencing and what pitchers want to do. And I, like a lot of times, like I won't remember a pitcher's name, but I'll remember, like, we'll get a report from a guy in spring training. I'm like, oh, I've faced this guy. I recognize this report. So I start recognizing certain pitches and certain shapes and stuff. So, just stuff like that. Like, I don't even remember the guy's name, but I do remember, like, it was a fastball slider combo. He had a changeup. He didn't throw much, like, stuff like that. Like, that's the stuff that sticks out to me. So I think it's just the way that I think, and that's just, just pretty vivid in my head because that's where I put all my focus.
It was crazy. We think about your time in Richmond as this brief flash. You know, you were there for such a short period of time, but really that's the place where you spent the longest portion of your professional career so far. When you look back at that, what we call a flash, and for you the longest stop so far in pro ball, what do you think about when you reflect back on your time in Richmond?
I think Richmond is probably the coolest level to play at in the minor leagues for the Giants. You know, it's, you know, averaging 6,000-7,000 a night. It's a great culture with the team. That team was also just a great, super fun group of guys. And we were going out there, you know, a lot of times in minor league baseball, you go out there as a team and you're trying to get your stats and get your hits. We were going out there trying to win. And that was what was super fun about Richmond. You know, every game we had a team, a group of guys that was going out there to try to beat the hell out of the other team. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's kind of, I feel like, what's missing with a lot of teams in minor league baseball, and it wasn't missing there. So it was super fun to play in that environment.
Well, you got bumped up to Sacramento, August, and then just 2 weeks there, and you're getting the call up to the big leagues for the first time. Where were you when you found out that you were going up?
I was actually getting on the bus from – we had just finished a series in Vegas, and we flew out like 6 a.m. flight that day from Vegas back to Sacramento. And Brundy, the AAA manager, he's like, hey, Mick, what are your plans the rest of the day? I'm like, oh, you know, I'll probably take a nap and – get a little lift in and then just hang out the rest of the day. He's like, oh, that's cool. Who's your roommate out here? And I was like, oh, I actually don't have one. You know, I'm just by myself. And he goes, oh, we're going to have to find you a new roommate. I was like, oh, no, it's okay. I like having my own space. It's fine. He goes, no, we got to find you a new roommate in San Francisco because you're going up to the big club. So as right as I'm getting on the bus back to the stadium. So he's like, yeah, get your stuff off the van. There will be a car waiting for you, and then you're going to go up to San Francisco today. So that's, it kind of happened pretty quickly, and then I'm calling my parents and saying, you got to get on a flight to San Francisco right now, and
yeah.
Calling people and letting people know. So, yeah, it was fun.
How much of a rush was it to get your family out there? And you know, you've got no time to get all that figured out, but once-in-a-lifetime thing, you got to make sure to get them there.
Yeah, it was actually – so I was like – because I knew they'd want to be there for that, and I was like kind of stressed about it. And then someone with the Giants, Abe, he calls me. He goes, hey, give me your parents' phone number. We'll handle everything. So I gave my dad's number, and they called my parents and said, hey, we got you a flight. We're going to get you your tickets. You know, you, Wade, just worry about playing tonight. So they handled all the operational stuff and get my parents out there, and they just made it a lot easier for me to just go out there and play that night and not have to worry about all that stuff.
I don't know if you got a chance to go back and see any of the footage later. You got a chance maybe during the offseason to look back. But I think they were showing your mom on TV, and she was like a nervous wreck. Did you ever see any of that?
No, they asked me about it actually after my second game. I never actually saw it. I just know that's how she is. I try not to, like, you know, I'm like, calm down. Like, I see it, I'm like, calm down, Mom. But, I know that's how she is. I'm glad I don't have to see it. I don't really want to see it. So, yeah.
I think she was in Reading last year. She came to see you play in Reading. I think I remember seeing her. We could see her from our booth there. I remember thinking, like, oh, yeah, she's definitely hanging on every pitch when you're hitting.
Yeah, she did. She came out to that series. I had a good series that series, too. So she was probably a little calmer for that one.
Yeah, well, I would imagine that there's not any easy at bat in the major leagues, right? But you're starting off, you're going up there against Tyler Glass now. Got you the first at bat. Eventually, you were able to kind of, you know, work a walk against him later in the game. That was your introduction to Major League Baseball. How did you feel about going out there in that first game?
I try not to make him, again, like, I don't try not to make anyone bigger than they are. I try to make them their report, you know. So I looked at his break action chart, and it's a fastball with cut carry. It's a hard slider, and it's a big curveball. You know, I turn it into, I'm not facing Tyler Glass, I'm facing this break action chart. So, all right, it's a fastball at 98 to 100 with cut and some carry. I need to get him up and out, you know. So I try to simplify everyone into just an approach off their break action chart instead of, oh, I'm facing Tyler Glass now. He's so good. He's one of the best in the game. It's, okay, what do I need to do against this scouting report, essentially? So, there were a couple pitches in that at bat that were, you know, maybe not strikes, but
we thought the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, come on, squeezing the rookie.
But, it happens. It was, you know, obviously first reaction when I see the lineup, I'm like, oh, I'm facing Glass now today, and then it turns into, like, all right, just do what you got to do off him.
Well, day two in the big leagues, make a nice sliding catch out in the outfield, and then from there you pick up a couple of hits. Did you kind of settle in? Did you feel like, all right, deep breath, I'm here? Or was it really just the same as the day before? That day, just a couple of knocks fell.
No, yeah, it was as soon as I got that first hit, I was like, all right, I got my knock. Like, I can just go out there and play now. I started pressing a little bit after it had been five at-bats before I had a hit, and I got my hit in the sixth one, I think. I got that knock, and I was like, all right, like, you can relax now. Like, you got your hit. And then, again, of course, you relax. I get a hit the next step back again.
Yeah, just kind of getting back to what you do.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, last one for you. You play with so much intensity, and that's obviously drawn some attention, but also the way that you play the game so hard, it makes you kind of a fan favorite. People like to watch you play. But is there something that comes from, or do you ever have to, like, put that in check some, because baseball is such a different game? You know, it's not football or basketball where that intensity is normal. The way that you play is a little bit unique, and it's a lot of fun to watch.
I actually do have to slow myself down a lot. I have to calm myself down a lot too. You know, I just naturally have a very high motor, just mm-hmm. from growing up and the way I was raised, and I think part of it's just, you know, the way I am. But yeah, a lot of times, especially on the bases and on, like, in the box on defense, like, I have to physically remind myself to slow myself down and relax my face and take care of my breathing and stuff like that, because otherwise I'll just go, and I'll get sped up, or I'll speed myself up. So, I have to, a lot of times, like, even when it looks like I'm, you know, moving super quick and, you know, playing with insane intensity, I'm actually telling myself, like, I think that's the slower version.
Yeah.
Because if I allow myself to just go out there and not do that, then it'll, you know, everything will get sped up.
Well, really appreciate you taking a few minutes to chat, and wish you all the best in 2024. Hope you have a good year.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate it.